Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him,
Cornelius.
And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said,
What is it, sir?
And he said to him,
Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea.
When the angel who was speaking to him had left, Cornelius summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa.
On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him.
Arise, Peter, kill and eat.
But Peter said,
By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean.
Again a voice came to him a second time.
What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.
This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him,
Behold, three men are looking for you. Now, get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself.
Peter went down to the men and said,
Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?
Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and hear a message from you.
So he invited them in and gave them lodging. And on the next day he got up and went away with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him.
On the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying,
Stand up. I too am just a man.
As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled, and he said to them,
You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason you have sent for me?
Cornelius said,
4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who's also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all present here before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.
Opening his mouth, Peter said,
I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered,
Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?
And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days.
I'm pretty sure that Cornelius and certainly Peter were aware of the God's laws in the Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament, in the Torah. And so today, as we remember Jesus, I'd like to remember him as fulfilling that law, also paying the consequences for our failure to keep that law. And I'm going to read from Galatians, where Paul so eloquently talks about this subject, and then we can consider how much we really owe Jesus, which we can't ever repay, and at the same time just praise him for the great gift that he's given all of us. This comes from the end of the third chapter of Galatians, and it finishes partly into the fourth chapter. This is Paul writing, Before this faith came, we were all held prisoners by the law. We had no freedom until God showed us the way of faith that was coming. In other words, the law was our guardian leading us to Christ so that we could be made right with God through faith. Now the way of faith has come, and we no longer live under a guardian, the law. I added the law, the guardian. You were all baptized into Christ, and so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is no difference between Jew and Greek, slave and free person, male and female. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ, so you are Abraham's descendants. You will inherit all of God's blessings because of the promise God made Abraham. I want to tell you this. While those who will inherit their father's property are still children, they are really no different from slaves. It does not matter that the children own everything. While they are children, they must obey those who are chosen to care for them. But when the children reach the age set by their fathers, they are free. It is the same for us. We were once like children, slaves to the useless rules of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, who was born of a woman and lived under the law. God did this so he could buy freedom for those who were under the law, and so we could become his children. Since you are God's children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Father. So now you are not a slave. You are God's child, and God will give you the blessing he promised because you are his child. What a great, great gift we have in Jesus this morning as we remember him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your Son who came into this world, showed us how to live, who basically took the penalty of the law for us. There was nothing wrong with the law. It showed us your character, showed us how we should be, but none of us can keep that. But Jesus could, and Jesus became our sacrifice for that law. And as a result, we are now born into him, born as your children. And Father, being your children is the most wonderful thing we can ever imagine, because we have joy now and we have life from here on. Help us think about these things as we share in the bread, his body, that he asked us to remember him by. Thank you for his gift. In his name, amen. Let's pray once more. Father, help us also to remember the the blood of Jesus, as he wanted us to remember it, is represented by this this wine, this juice. Father, blood throughout the Old Testament always represents life. And by sharing in this blood, we share in his life. A life, Father, that protects us, a life that gives us joy, and a life that's never going to end. We are grateful for him, his sacrifice, for his continued living today as our elder brother and our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I want
Jesus to walk with me.
I want Jesus
to walk with me.
Good morning. After our prayer, we'll be taking up an offering. I'm going to begin and end our prayer just by listing some of the names of Jesus. It helps me to remember who he is and therefore who I am. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us all to here, all here to be together. And we just want to praise you and glorify you now by lifting up your different names. You are almighty. You are the author and finisher. You are beloved. You are the branch and the bread of life. You are the bridegroom and the bright and morning star. You're the carpenter, the chosen one, the chief cornerstone, the door, and Emmanuel, God with us. We come to you today as a church, Lord, praising you and asking you to hear our request. We pray that you'll be with Sean Duncan and his family as they're in Nashville mourning the loss of his grandmother, that you will comfort them. We praise you that Lolita Keith's son got married yesterday. We are thankful that Alan and Marsha Lewis's son are getting married today. Thank you that Teresa Sussman underwent successful surgery this past week, and that baby Wyatt was born into this church family this year, Lord. We are also thankful that Al Baston was released from the hospital. There are other requests and other things we have to be thankful for, God, and we know that you know our heart. You are our Messiah, our Redeemer, our Prince of Peace, our Prophet. You're the resurrection and the life, our Savior, our Shepherd. You're the Son of God, the true vine, and the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Good morning. Kids, when you come up today, things are a little bit different. I want you to come up and bring your contribution for the kids in Honduras, and then we're going to have a seat here. And if you'll sit down facing this way, we're going to have a scripture reading from some of our kids, and then we're going to learn a new song today. All right, so come on up, bring your contribution, and then find a place to sit. We have a couple of readers this morning. All right, readers, come on up. And they're going to be reading a passage from Acts chapter 10. They're going to read verses 34 and 35.
Peter began to speak. I really understand now to God every person is the same.
God accepts anyone who worships him and does what is right. It is not important what country a person comes from.
Thank you, girls. All right, now kids, Mr. Brent has a song he wants to teach us today, okay? So let's listen.
All right, this is for you kids, but it's also for you adults too. It's a very simple song called One in the Bond of Love. Here's how it goes. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit in the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Once more. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Okay, there's a second verse to this. And to sing it right, I think you have to join hands with somebody. Okay, so whoever's sitting next to you, join hands with them. And let's learn verse 2. Verse 2. Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands that the world will know we are one in the bond of love. Okay, you know what? The kids did a good job with joining hands, but some of the adults didn't do it. So if you're sitting next, if there's a gap between you, you need to move over by that person. You have to join hands. It's required to sing the second verse. Okay? So do it now. Ready? Let us sing now, everyone. Let us feel His love begun. Let us join our hands that the world will know we are one in the bond of love. Verse 1 again. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Great job, kids. Thank you so much. You can go back to your seats now.
And we do not have kids' message time today, so first through sixth graders, you're going back to sit with your grown-ups, but we do have training for worship. So if you're visiting and you have a child from 2 years old through kindergarten, they're welcome to join us if you'll just walk them to their class.
We'll resume our reading now and taking up in the 11th chapter of Acts.
Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying,
"You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?"
But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying,
"I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here, and he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?
When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying,
"Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life."
Ephesians 2:11-22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
May God bless the reading of his word today. Our God is a God who loves to break down walls between people and between diverse groups of people. God's vision for his church has always been that of a body of people for which, to use the words of Galatians 3:26, there is no Jew nor Gentile, there is no slave nor free, there is no male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And God is not a God of partiality, and there are no distinctions among us. We have all been put on equal footing by the death of Christ. His death was not just for some of us, it was for all of us. And aren't you glad? But in the earliest years of his church here on earth, that message had yet to sink in. We've been studying Acts when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Luke is very careful to record that there were people there from Cappadocia, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and on, in order to emphasize that there were people gathered there from pretty much all the parts of the known world. But he leaves out one thing. Those people were all Jews. The first Christians were all Jews. And so ingrained in their Jewishness were these early Christians that the thought that a Gentile might also one day become a Christian evidently never entered their minds. And the thought that a Jew and a Gentile might one day break bread together and be on equal footing before God, that was an inconceivable and repulsive thought. And you have to wonder, if God had not intervened the way he did in Acts 10, how long would it have taken? You wonder if it would have ever happened at all. The Holy Spirit seems to have known that the leaders of the early church were going to need a little nudge. So the Spirit gives Peter, the most prominent figure in that early church, this vivid dream, or maybe a daydream. Three times Peter sees this amazing vision of a sheet being lowered, full of tasty animals, some clean, some unclean, and he is given the green light to kill them and eat them. And Peter's hungry. In his mind, he knows that it would be wrong to eat any of these unclean animals, but the Spirit has the job of reorienting Peter's thinking on this. What God has called clean, let no man call unclean, comes the response. So with those words ringing in his ears, and with the meaning of the daydream confusing his mind, he gets a little knock on the door. A prominent Gentile wants an audience with Peter. And little does Peter know that Cornelius has been receiving messages directly from God too. Now, if ever there was a meeting of two people that was divinely prearranged, that was it. So before this very receptive audience, Peter opens his mouth and begins telling them the story of Jesus, the simple gospel message. And a few moments later, when Peter witnessed the Holy Spirit falling on this group of Gentiles, just as it had on the Jews on the day of Pentecost, well, I think it finally dawned on him that a new day had dawned. God had knocked down the wall. The good news about Jesus was not just for the Jews. It was for everyone. And we Christians, we are not to keep this story to ourselves. We are to share it, even with people who are different from us or whom we suspect might not be all that receptive to it. Our God is a God who loves to break down walls between people. Just as he has broken down the wall between sinful man and himself. Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. William Barclay tells a fantastic story about a group of American soldiers fighting in France in World War II. One of the group had been killed in the fighting, and his soldiers wanted to give him a proper burial. So they carried him up to a little Catholic church which had a cemetery next to it, surrounded by a nice white fence. And they knocked on the door of the parish priest and asked if it would be okay if they buried their friend there in the cemetery. And the priest looked at them, studied them for a minute, and said, "Well, was he Catholic?" And the soldiers weren't sure. Finally, one of them spoke and said, "Well, I think he was Methodist." "Well, you can't bury him here," said the priest. "This cemetery is reserved for members of the Holy Church. But if you want, you can bury him outside the fence, and I'll see that the gravesite is looked after." So they proceeded to bury their friend just outside the fence. The next day, the men decided to go back one last time to pay their final respects to their fallen friend. They went to the spot where they thought they had buried him, but somehow they couldn't find it. They looked. They couldn't find it. So they decided to knock on the priest's door one more time. "Sir, we can't find our friend's grave." The priest responded, "Well, I spent half the night regretting what I had told you," he said. "It just didn't seem right that he should be buried outside that fence." "So you moved the grave?" they asked. "No," he said. "I spent the other half of the night moving the fence." In a metaphorical way, that's exactly what God has done for us. There's not a one of us that deserves a place inside his fence. There's not a one of us that deserves a place at his table. If we're judged solely on the basis of the lives we've lived, there's not a one of us who deserves forgiveness and redemption. We all come up short. We're all guilty. But God, through Christ, has moved the fence. Because of what Jesus did, we who were standing outside the fence are now on the inside. We can be included as part of God's forever family. He is building us, this church, into a holy temple of which Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. God is so good at removing those barriers. Today, there might be someone here who is ready to accept the gift of Jesus Christ that God has so graciously extended to every one of us. Not just a few of us, but all of us. And if that's the case, we are about to stand and sing a song. And if you'd like to come down front, we'd be happy to meet you. Let's all stand.